Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Oh, there's 100.
Yeah, so not messing around. Slider, and then a changeup that did get the call. Might have been a nice pitch. So heavy with the fastball there in that at bat, and then full count. The confidence to throw a 3-2 changeup from Bubba Chandler is impressive, and that was a well-placed one.
Oh.
I mean, Church wanted nothing to do with that.
No. Wow. Boy, oh boy.
Yes, we're getting ready for Steelers season. We're in Pittsburgh. That's the biggest overriding story by far. Of course it is. But the biggest story today, where we live, is Bubba Chandler. And I'm not sure we've talked about it enough. What a display that was. Even more impressive than his debut. He is the number one pitching prospect in all of baseball, the number 7 overall prospect, and the body language on the Cardinals hitters that he faced was, if you put a thought bubble, was like, I can't hit that, or put swear words above there, what the blank was that. It was just like, wow, what a display. He comes in, he's getting up to 100 miles an hour on a fastball that just explodes. I mean, limits. It's funny, you sent me the video of this dude in wiffle ball from 40 feet throwing 103 miles an hour, and the ball's moving all over the place.
Yep.
That's what this dude's doing from what is it,
60 feet, 6 inches. No doubt.
Right. It's unbelievable. And it's like he's throwing a wiffle ball. And then he had the confidence. Who was it that he struck out on the changeup? You remember the full count changeup? Just a ridiculous pitch. He had it all happening last night. His strikeouts came, I think it was a 93-mile. By the way, the changeup is almost 94 miles an hour. The changeup.
Unreal. It's like skiing to splinker.
Came on that 100-mile-an-hour heater, another 100-mile-an-hour heater. This is the story of the day. And this is what I was talking about with Zangrilli yesterday. It seemed like Zangrilli wanted to disagree with me no matter what I said, limits. It was absolutely incredible. It made for good sports talk, and he's a very smart man. But my point in the Pirates have the hard part done with pitching isn't numbers 3 through 5 in the rotation or the bullpen. They have Skeens and Chandler. You know how many franchises would kill to have those two guys at the top of the rotation, those two talents? Now, we've all seen enough baseball. We don't know how it'll turn out necessarily with Bubba Chandler. But I've seen his first two outings, and I'm thinking pretty good. That's what I'm thinking. And I don't know how anybody can watch these two guys pitch back-to-back in the same rotation, which they did over the weekend, which they're about to do again, and not be somewhat optimistic. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. Feel the need to apologize for being optimistic about the Pirates. I realize they have bunches of people starting at the very top who tend to screw things up. This is going to be a hard one to screw up. To have Skeens and Chandler at the top of your rotation. You all saw it. This is the reason why I keep saying they're not that far away. I think two guys like this at the top of the rotation is the equivalent of a franchise quarterback. I do. I've sort of talked about that, you know, all season, that when you have pitching in general, it's that. But when you have two guys, like two aces, potentially with Chandler, at the top of your rotation, two talents like this, it's like having one franchise quarterback in football. And when you have that, you're close. You're close. Doesn't mean you'll get there. People have screwed it up. Teams have screwed it up. If anybody can screw it up, it'll be the Pirates. But they're not that far away. I don't know how you could possibly watch that last night and then watch Skeens coming back here and watch anything you've seen from Connor Griffin and not at least think to yourself, this could be kind of special at some point here. Those thoughts have crossed my mind. They have the number one pitching prospect and the number one position prospect. The pitching prospect is here, making major league hitters look like idiots. They already have Skeens, and Connor Griffin pretty soon, I think, is going to be one phone call away. He may get some AAA at-bats before this season is done. And then he'll be one phone call away. I'm not sure how you look at that, and I understand we've all been beaten down, beaten beyond recognition. We're like that gif of the karate guy who's squatting and having somebody kick him in the groin a trillion times in a row. That's you as a Pirate fan. I understand it. So I understand any bit of optimism is going to be accompanied by a swift kick in the you-know-whats. I get it. But the first part isn't negated. I don't think if you're watching it. And I know from the numbers that a lot of you are watching it and listening. We know that from the numbers. If you were watching Bubba Chandler tonight or last night and you didn't have a thought of, oh my God, him and Skeens at the top of the rotation, what's that going to look like? Could even the Pirates screw that one up? Well, sure they could, yeah. But maybe not. Maybe at some point the raw talent outweighs the incompetence elsewhere. Now, I'm on the record saying that this offseason, they need to move on from Ben Cherington and go get somebody who can wheel and deal his way into an offense to accompany this pitching. Because I've seen very little hope that Cherington can do that. On the other hand, you know, if you're making a case for Cherington, it would be just this. He did get Bubba Chandler in the same draft that he screwed up the top pick in Henry Davis. And he did draft Connor Griffin. And he did draft Skeens. When you go back and look, it's not revisionist history. You go back and look. In fact, I did. MLB.com had a bunch of experts making their predictions. And the slight majority thought that the Pirates would go for the everyday guy. Having said that, it's now been 6 years of trying to build an offense. And there's just, you know, other than Griffin, what are we doing here? But man, Bubba Chandler is something else with that kind of stuff. And by the way, that stuff will play better in the major leagues than it did in the minors because there's a higher strike zone. Somebody pointed that out. I think it was on The Athletic the other day, maybe. Plus, I think he probably just got bored and angry. He should have been here. Now that I'm watching this, he should have been here months ago. Good for them that they've saved a year on the other end of his contract. Is he even going to be here? I'm not worried about the Pirates in 2032 at this point. I don't give a crap. I give a crap about the Skeens window. It's wide open. They've now wasted 2 years. 2 years of a generational pitcher. It's time to take advantage. Because now you have a generational pitcher and an arm unlike many we've seen. That's Bubba Chandler. Again, all you need to know is that Henry Davis, who is Skeens' personal catcher, I think told Kevin Gorman about a month ago that Chandler has the best fastball he's ever seen. You were looking at it. Limits, let's hear Greg Brown again and Matt Capps, just like the rest of us, being blown away by this. 412-928-9370, 928-9370. How do you as a Pirate fan look at this and not at least have pangs of what could this look like? This might be really good. It might be. It could be. And then you get the kick in the groin or a trillion of them in a row. I believe me, I get that. But I'd love to hear how you react to this, to having the number one pitching prospect and seeing. It's one thing to have prospects. And people get, you know, prospect derangement syndrome around here in both ways. Either, oh my God, please don't trade a prospect, or they get, oh, everybody's talking about all these prospects. When are any of them going to turn out? You've seen this guy now in the majors. You've seen him twice. You saw him last night, and it was phenomenal what he was doing. 412-928-9370. Limits, I want to hear that clip again. The clips of Pirates flourishing this season have been so few and far between, especially when he's someone who offers a ray of hope here. And hope is a precious commodity in sports that's been an awfully short supply for a decade with the Pirates. Let's hear Greg Brown, and well, it was Caps, wasn't it? Talking about Chandler.
Huh. There's 100.
Yeah, so not messing around. Slider, and then a changeup that did get the call. Might have been a nice pitch. So heavy with the fastball there in that at-bat, and then full count. The confidence to throw a 3-2 changeup from Bubba Chandler is impressive, and that was a well-placed one.
Oh.
I mean, Church wanted nothing to do with that.
No. Wow. Boy, oh boy.
Wow, and boy, oh boy, is right. I don't know what you're looking at. That's what I was looking at last night. I was on the edge of my seat watching that dude. I know you've been hurt. You've been hurt. Shoot, you've been kicked in the groin a trillion times in a row. But are you able to love again? Are you? With the Pirates? Or is it too much? I understand either way. I just happen to believe that this kid is the real deal, and you combine him with Skeens and you have, I think, an all-time 1-2 for the Pirates, potentially. Potentially. I mean, that was a ridiculous display. And it's the biggest story around here today that they have a guy like that. They have a guy, another guy, at the very top of that rotation. 412-928-9370. Limits, I know you've been hurt. You've been kicked in the groin, machine gun style.
Yes.
A trillion times.
Multiple.
Are you able to love again? What was going through Little Limits' brain and mind and heart as he watched that display by Bubba Chandler?
Yeah, it was appointment viewing for me to be able to make sure that I was locked in watching basically every pitch that Chandler threw. And it's good to see what we're told about in the minor leagues actually happen in the majors.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
It made me also think another point of this guy should be in the rotation and he should be now. I think we've seen enough of him in bulk relief where I'd love to see him go out there and just be able to throw the ball out there and go.
I love the phrase bulk relief, by the way.
Yes.
That's my new favorite phrase, bulk relief. I see a rotation next year, if I had to choose it right now, of Skeens, Chandler, Keller, Oviedo, and Ashcraft. That's what I see. And now the question is, can they put even an average offense together? Just an average offense. Please do something. Somebody do something. All right, Limits, let's hit the phones.
All right, phones are lighting up. Let's start with Jay in Columbus.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, Joe. Was it too long ago, or maybe it was long ago, that the Braves went from last to first with Avery Smoltz and Glavin? Just imagine a rotation. Skeens, Chandler, Oviedo, Jones, Ashcraft. I say we trade Keller, and we're a DH and a corner or an outfielder away, assuming that they pull up Griffin next year, which the likelihood is slim to none because Nutting's an idiot. But we're 15 to 20 million away.
That's what I'm saying. They're so close and yet so far away. Like, all they need is a couple of impact hitters. I know that's the problem and the solution here. All they need is a couple of impact hitters.
Charrington. They got to whack Charrington. And if I'm a GM and Nutting in the interview process says, I'm willing to give you an extra 15 to 20 million. It's a dream job for an up and coming GM.
Could be. I know. I agree with you there. I've heard people, even people on this station, say, who would want to come to Pittsburgh? Are you kidding me? Right now? At this point in time? I don't care what the constraints are financially. Look at what I've got under control. Namely, Skeens and Chandler and Griffin. For multiple years. This is not a good job. This is a great job right now. And there's only 30 of them on the planet. By the way, there's a kid named Hunter Barco. And before I hear, oh, Starkey's going crazy about how great the Pirates are going to be. No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Hey, guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
The first move that needs to happen is Ben Cherington needs to go, and then we can talk or none of this is going to happen. But what I would say from the other side is, if you're watching these dudes at the top of the rotation and you're not having those thoughts, I don't know what you're looking at. I can't imagine what you're looking at. But there's also a kid in Indy, Hunter Barco, who has 75 strikeouts and 64 innings at AAA. Limits, how close is, what's the, not how close, but what's the prognosis you last heard on Jared Jones?
Not back until about June next year. It's going to be a while.
That's actually, well, no, but that's actually sooner than my mind had focused on.
When did you have, like mid-July?
I don't know. I was thinking, Zangrilli was in here one day, and he was talking about, my God, if they have a work stoppage, we might never see this guy again. But that was the original prognosis, was June or July of next year?
Yeah, June or July, because when he ultimately had the injury and the surgery in May, it was projected to keep him out 10 to 12 months, and they're obviously going to have to ramp him back up. So the optimistic viewpoint would be June, maybe more so July after some rehab starts.
Holy ostrich milk. Can you imagine a rotation that starts with Skeens, Chandler, and Jones?
And I like Oviedo a lot, too.
I like Ashcraft right now.
Knock on all that wood, Joe. They stay healthy. That's what matters most, because Jones hasn't been able to do it.
Well, that's the way of it. And when you have that when you have young power arms, there's going to be attrition, period. That's the way it is. Football Talk on 93.7 The Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Now I'm sitting here daydreaming, oh, limitless wonder. There's a weekend series, I don't know, against the Brewers, their nemesis, the team that actually knows what they're doing every year. And you've got Skeens on Friday, Chandler on Saturday, and Jared Blanking Jones on Sunday, late next July. I kind of like that. I kind of like that myself.
I'd like to see the Broom Man walking around PNC Park with broom in hand right by the dugout, ready to wave that thing in the air. That's what I think.
We can dream. When you have talent like this, you can. I'm sorry. When you have guys like Chandler and Connor Griffin to go with Skeens, you can start dreaming. Honestly. Doesn't mean your dream will come true. It doesn't. But you're allowed to start dreaming, I think. I'm allowed to. I am. I'm looking ahead. Projecting, at least wondering. And I know what happened to the Pirates' dream outfield a long time ago. And by the way, they signed all those guys, and they were supposed to be together. McCutchen, Marte, and Polanco. And then Marte got himself suspended. McCutchen had a bad year. Next thing you know, he was gone. And Polanco forgot how to play baseball, if he ever knew. So there went the dream outfield. There was supposed to be a dream rotation at some point, too. I think it was going to be Cole, Tyone, and Glasnow.
Yep.
And
Nick Kingham was the last piece of that.
So maybe we deserve to have a dream come true around here. Maybe it is a pipe dream. Maybe it is. But when you see talent like that, wow. Just like Greg Brown said, wow. Next.
All right, Joe, let's go to Anthony in Oakland to chime in.
Hey, Joe, Anthony. Like yourself, I got excited yesterday. I happened to, they were on Fox One.
Yeah, they were.
And I hadn't watched them all year, and I was very impressed. Yeah, you're right, the general manager has to go. He's done a great job with accumulating the pitching. We have to give him credit for that. But the other aspects of your ball club are failing. And once he goes, you bring in someone who's competent and bring in the fill out the rest of your team, but you got to get Cruz fixed also. You better bring someone of Latin stature in here so he can talk to and mentor, because he has immense talent, but it's got to get out of drawn out of him. And they've just been unable to do it. And I think that's because there's no Latin influence on this team anymore, which we used to be the team where Latins would want to come to.
Well, I'll say this much is that he had a horrific at-bat last night, by the way, is O'Neill Cruz. Is that Cruz and Reynolds are going to be here, I believe, and are just going to have to, you know, in Reynolds' case, rebound. And I believe he will. I think if you throw out his best season, which was it 21 when he had like a 920 OPS, and this season, where he started to hit, by the way, way too late. You throw out this season as his worst one, you get Brian Reynolds. You get a good but not great hitter. And a good hitter in this lineup looks pretty great. So you get 20 to 25 homers, 280 average, drives in runs. Give me that guy, and I think you'll get that guy in right field. Cruz remains still a frustrating and sometimes exhilarating mystery. You know what I mean? It's very frustrating. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. It's them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Didn't we have a roommate or a buddy of Jared Jones on our show once, Limits?
We did, yes.
Text that guy and say, what's he telling you about his rehab? Because now I'm starting to think about that, is to have that dream rotation beginning with those three guys. Next.
All right, let's go to Clinton. He is in Pittsburgh.
Hello, Clinton.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. You know what? after seeing what the Pirates have been doing the last, 30 or so years, and you're like, man, you see Chandler and we see Skeens, and you're like, gee whiz, you know what? Like, how can you have optimism? But I do want to say something on a positive note, and we're talking about the offense also, too, as well. There's one person I want to see come back, and that's Pham, and I'm going to tell you why. That interview that he gave last night after the game, I loved it. Because this is a man that stood up there, even though he hit the game-winning run yesterday, he talked about improving and what he needs to do to improve. That's a veteran. I love his attitude, and I love his will to win and to get better each game. But I tell you what, with this Skeens and Chandler coming up, you can't do nothing but be excited. You know, I don't know who's going to be on the free agent market after this season goes or anything like that. But ever since Shelton left, this team has improved. Although we've had our downs this year with certain games that, you know, they lost, like in Colorado. But, you know, things can turn around. If they get a couple of more bats, they get a good DH, you know, they could be a team to talk about in 26, you know, believe it or not, you know. But I'm really excited to see what Skeens and Chandler do.
Me too,
man. My only complaint, but you know what, Joe? I have one complaint, and you know what that is?
Well, we all have a lot of legitimate complaints. Go ahead.
But you know what, though? Here's my biggest gripe. You mean to tell me I went to the University of Miami, and now that I'm hearing Chandler is pitching Saturday, I might have to ditch that Miami game to watch Chandler, man.
Oh, no. You'll have plenty of time to watch him.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, yeah, that's true. You know, but you know what? I'm like, hey, you can't miss a moment like this, too. I might have to have both on at the same time.
Well, that's the other thing, and I appreciate the calls. You've got two must-watch appointment viewing type pitchers now. And again, I don't know how it's going to turn out with Chandler. I'm sure everybody out there listening, most of us have seen enough baseball to know that nothing is guaranteed. And he was, his number, he was struggling in the minors. I think that changes. I think that has changed. I honestly believe there is something to the strike zone being higher up here. And there's something to being done with a place and being ready to graduate, you know, whether it's your whatever job you might be working, you know, academically. Yeah, I'm done with this. There's nothing left here for me. I'm ready to move on. And I think that's becoming very, very clear with Bubba Chandler. Next.
Let's go to Jim in the South Hills.
Hey, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
I think that what the Pirates have to do is go big. Do you think Nutting has it in him to buy, not trade for, but buy like a Christian Yelich or a young Paul Goldschmidt, somebody like that?
No matter what you might hear, I don't. I think it's gonna have to be, upwards of maybe 12. I think 15 might be the cap. They did spend $10 million on a relief pitcher 2 years ago. So we know that it's possible that you can spend, double digits on somebody at least. And they're talking a lot about all the money they've saved around the deadline and things. And maybe that goes back into the team to at least get it back to this year's payroll. But I'm not counting on much more than that. I am counting on at least one signing of a competent hitter. And if that costs you, $14, $15 million a year, They better do that. They better be able to do that. Of course they can do that.
How about this, Joe? SpotTrack is only projecting Eugenio Suarez to make $15 million in free agency next year. Would you do it?
That seems odd.
That's what I thought.
Of course I would do it.
But he's 34. He's going to be 35.
I don't care if he's 64. He's an upgrade at third.
He's hit 42 home runs this year and 104 RBIs.
See,
he'd be Babe Ruth in this lineup.
How is that possible, Limits? How do you hit that many homers? That's wrong. They can't sign him for $15 million a year.
SpotTrack also saying that...
That can't be right.
SpotTrack, this is the market value, the projected market value for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Naylor, right around $18 million. The first baseman for Seattle who was traded from Cleveland. Would you take Josh Naylor?
Limits, I would take anybody. You could read, would you take Adam Crowley? Yes, pay him $5 million. Now, of course, Key Brian Hayes goes to the Reds, and his OPS is at 707, and he's slugging 400. Unbelievable. All right, let's continue this conversation next, shall we?
Let's do it.
I like this conversation because it's sort of undeniable when you see a talent like that. You don't see it a lot. You just don't. You don't see an arm like that very often. Bubba Chandler, and they already have a guy named Skeens, and now Limits has brightened my day even more by telling me I'd forgotten, or maybe it was just I was being pessimistic, that Jared Jones could be back, 2-3 months into next season. It could get good. It could. Bubba Chandler's the biggest story around here today. 412-928-9370.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Limits, we just taped a new intro to the quiz show tomorrow.
Yes, me my singing, favorite segment in fan history.
It's a Donnie Football Friday, and I can't wait. I absolutely can't wait. We have the official opening of college football season, officially week one. There's already been some games. We're going to make our predictions. We're going to have special guests. We're going to have, the quiz show. We're going to have all kinds of things. What are you pointing to?
I'm pointing to something. You needing to fix the camera after you moved it when you were eating.
Yeah, there's something weird about the
Come on, Joe, you don't want everybody to see you eating?
Watching me eat. By the way, I just had pad thai with vegetables. You know what I find very unnerving and strange and not really edible?
Enlighten me.
Those little miniature cobs of corn. The mini-me's, the corn cob mini-me's. What is the purpose of them?
Corn cob mini-me's?
Little things of corn, Limits.
Like the corn on the cob?
Yes, but they're only like an inch long and they're skinny.
I don't know. Maybe you don't want to eat the whole entire thing.
You've never heard of these things?
Well, I don't think I've ever called it that.
Well, what are they?
I just call it regular corn on the cob. It's just a smaller
portion.
Corn on
the cob? It's a size of Inch High Private Eye. You remember that show?
No.
It's the size of a little toothpick. Even
Inch
smaller.
Eye, private eye?
Who's the guy next to you in there?
Yeah, he's gone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Surely you've seen these little things, these miniature corn cobs, right?
Yeah, I know what you're
why
talking about
Why would anybody
now.
Eat them? Why do they even exist?
Why not?
Are they?
Maybe you just want a small portion of corn instead of a four-course meal of corn.
No, it doesn't resemble, it looks like corn. It doesn't taste like it in any way. It's like these mini, the little kernels are grains of salt.
What does it taste like?
Nothing. That's the whole point.
Just blandness.
It's
blandness
just weird.
In the ether.
Is there anybody out there, and you can text Limits here at 928-9370, who when you're ordering food of any kind thinks to yourself, man, I sure hope it includes those little mini corn cobs. Can't be.
Peppercorns, are they called?
Yeah,
that?
Peppercorns.
That's what somebody texts in.
Peppercorns,
okay.
Right. They look like corn cobs that have been shrunk or something. My incredible shrinking corn cob, right?
Maybe they're for people that don't have the teeth capabilities to eat a whole corn on the cob.
No, that's not the case.
No?
You can eat them in one bite.
And by Andrew Lindbergh has an opinion on this.
Yeah. Go ahead, Andrew.
There he is.
Please.
You want to know about the corn on the cob?
No, I want to know about these peppercorns, these mini corn cobs.
Right. So it's immature corn on the cob. So they harvest it before it's able to fully develop,
no way.
Which is why it doesn't taste like anything.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I don't believe that. It's true?
Yeah. And it's not very profitable, which is why you don't see it a lot, but it is in Chinese food, and why it lacks flavor.
Yeah, there's nothing to it. So they take corn, they take the bad corn cobs that didn't grow to fruition and throw them in there?
I think they harvest it before it can fully mature and grow.
Okay. Thank you, Andrew. He's always enlightening, isn't he, Linus?
Yeah, I'm glad he provided that context. Some people in the text line are saying that it's baby corn harvest super early, like we mentioned, and that it's also good for stir fry.
Well, when you say it's good for stir fry, what does that mean? The stir fry would be just as good without it. It's a useless thing, the little mini corn.
Our friend Corey Christen texted into the show and said it's literally miniature baby corn harvest super early.
Yeah, we got that. We've established that much. Why does it exist and why does anybody include it in food? Are there mini apples in food limits the size of a marble? Does somebody do that?
Other texters are saying that they're typically used in Chinese food quite a lot.
Yeah, that's what I got. I got pad thai last night from a Chinese place around here.
It's just baby corn. It's just the
corn
that has it. I don't know why they use it.
That's basically been established. I know that. Does anybody use, mini bananas? Mini unripened bananas
in food? Do you want
food?
Huge pieces of corn in, your stir fry?
No, I don't want any corn, especially an immature corn that doesn't taste like anything. I don't want that anymore.
The corn just hasn't grown up yet. It's a little immature. We can work on it.
Is anybody with me on this? They have to be with me. That when they see that in their food, they're like, why is it there? I'm probably not eating it. And it's actually mildly odd. What's happening here? I don't want the mini corn.
Sounds fine and edible to me.
Didn't say it wasn't edible limits. Let's go back to the lines.
All right, let's go to Bob and Braddock.
Hey, Bob. Bob.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, so mini corn.
I was going to ask for an opinion on mini corn.
Well, Kenny Pickett loves it because he got the little baby hands.
Kenny Pickett probably eats it like a regular corn cob, right?
Oh, yeah. See, you can twist them around with those little hands. Oh, yeah.
Twist is the word I was looking for, yes. Can you imagine him with those tiny toddler hands limits eating a piece of baby corn?
I think that's why the corn was made, just for Kenny.
What else is on your mind?
Hey, what does Paul Skeens and Bubba Chandler have in common? Think about it. Beside 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
Kenny Corn, they could call, instead of candy corn. That's
somebody,
the new name for
somebody
this
Somebody on
stuff.
The text line says it's perfect for intern Dom. Intern Dom Corn.
Please include some Kenny Corn with my pad thai. What was your question now?
What does Paul Skeens and Bubba Chandler have in common beside a 100-mile-an-hour fastball?
What?
Think about the mustache. So we got to get the whole staff to grow a mustache like the old Oakland A's in the 70s. It's the power of the mustache, and maybe we could have a doubleheader with Skeens and Chandler pitching, and we have J.P. Roofing throughout the first pitch. What do you think?
Oh, now you're talking. I like that. And doesn't Burroughs has a beard. Does Ashcraft have a mustache?
I don't believe so.
He's got a hell of an arm, too, I'll tell you that. I like the mustachioed gang. Here, how about a little handlebar mustache?
Like Nick Gonzalez has?
Yeah, how about the play he made at the end of the game, barehanded?
He's a good player. I like Nick Gonzalez. He's a solid player.
Next.
Tomcat in Mount Lebanon would like to chime in.
Hello, Tomcat.
Hi, Joe. I got to talk to you about these peppercorns. So I was a skeptic as well.
Yeah.
There is a restaurant about 5 miles north of Seneca Valley High School. I don't know if I can say the name on the air, but it is possibly the best restaurant in the area.
Okay.
And they have, it's been family owned forever. the son married like a chef girl from Switzerland, and she came back with a dish of, they make it there. They give you a bowl, like basically a dish, and it is peppercorns piping hot covered in Swiss cheese. And this isn't like a slice of Swiss cheese that you would put on a grilled cheese. I'm talking like at 2 inches of Swiss cheese. And it is the best thing I have ever eaten.
Wow.
I ate so much there that I actually vomited afterwards on the way home, and I passed out from a food coma.
Sounds like
Didn't
an enjoyable.
Didn't have a touch of alcohol.
Yeah.
It's incredible. You should look it up. It is the best thing in the world.
It sounds like you had a fun night there for sure, around the Kenny corn. This is unbelievable, Livis.
Kenny corn.
That the Kenny corn thing is taken.
The only corn that Kenny can hold to be able to eat.
Right. It feels like the Kenny corn was thrown in, like I picture a chef somewhere a long, long time ago, or a family of cooks, you know, saying, what are we going to do with these miniature corns that are never going to ripen? What should we do with these? Just throw them in there. Throw them in there. What the hell? Throw in the Kenny corn. And thus it was born, Limits.
Thus it was born. They wanted to try to find a use for it. You don't want to waste the corn that hasn't matured
but
yet.
I have to believe, and now this guy's telling us there's a restaurant that serves Kenny corn with Swiss cheese. Are you kidding me?
Might have to go check it out, Joe.
Is that an hors d'oeuvre? Is it a main dish? I'll take the Kenny corn with cheese. Now, there's possibilities here, though. I can see Kenny Wood doing something like this. What are they famous for? The potato patch fries?
Yes.
How about that with a side order of Kenny corn? And you'll see people all over Kenny Wood trying to eat these little miniature corns like they would a ripened cob, you know?
Does Mark in Mount Lebanon have any takes on the Kenny corn?
Mark?
No, I hate to bring you back to baseball, but I got to talk about baseball.
Please.
First of all, the Pirates are killing me these days because at a time of the year that I usually am getting ready to get off it, I mean, I'm an avid tennis player, and I've actually turned off the U.S. Open each of these evenings in order to watch the Pirates, number one.
What has you captivated other than Bubba Chandler?
It's the whole pitching staff. Yeah. I mean, this is a team, they're exciting to watch. You never know, you know, again, if they give up 3 or 4 runs, I don't think they're going to come back so far. But the thing I'd like to say is this. As great as this pitching staff is, and it's much more than even, you know, Skeens and Chandler, there's more of these younger guys are all playing unbelievably. So obviously we're all in agreement that they need hitting. And we're all in agreement that they're not going to spend. I'm not talking about the $40 million you're a player, but even for the lower ones, the players themselves are not going to want to come here. What you need is hitters that are under control. So the perfect time to go ahead and trade Skeens sometime this coming season is you trade Skeens, you get players that are in AAA that are about to come up, that have that, they're ready. And if it works out, you never know for sure.
Well, here's the thing is that then you don't have Skeens. That's the whole idea here, is to have a rotation that starts with Skeens and Chandler and hopefully Jared Jones sooner rather than later, although Ashcraft is a very, very intriguing pitcher to me. Need a spot to park for the Savannah Banana Games this weekend? Try the garage at Nova Place. Nova Place just steps from PNC Park in a short walk to Acrisure Stadium, located along South Commons. Prepay and reserve your parking at Nova Place Garage on Parkwiz. The best part is an easy exit in any direction after the event without getting stuck in traffic near the stadiums. Plus, they offer hassle. How many words am I going to mispronounce in this? Oh my God, this is like Crowley. Did you hear him get penalized on the morning show for all the mistakes he made?
Yeah, there's a buzzer that Callis will play.
And because he reached a certain threshold, he has to wear the 13-9 shirt tomorrow. Did you hear about that?
No, I did not hear that, but
that
I did hear
worth
this.
The
knock around a lot, mother bleeper.
Yeah, that's like me on this read right now, but this is the place.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.